this is my first time. Yes, it's true that I got rescued by Tasmania. Thank you very much, Tasmania, for doing that. It's no fun sort of being tossed onto the scrap heap of life. And I went through some very, very difficult times in that 6 months or so. But God is faithful, and He always provides for us. He is indeed Jehovah Jireh, and I'm excited that He's my Lord and Saviour. And so to come here and to share with you today is quite exciting. The reality of what I think you've been thinking about over the last few weeks is this idea of fellowship, or sharing the common life. And when I looked at that, and the oversight here said, look, this is where we're at and this is what we'd like you to do, I'm always excited about a church that says, please do this, because it means that the preparation time is somewhat briefer. And to look at the whole context of the first epistle of John in the idea of this sharing the common life. Now, what I believe is that this is cafe church today, correct? So I don't want to have a situation where I disrupt that sort of idea. However, if you're like me, every time the speaker sort of comes off the stage, you feel threatened, right? You're not threatened by me? Hi, I'm Roy. What's your name? Jackie. How are you, Jackie? How do you like me so far? Don't answer that. Okay? So I can wander amongst the crowd. Is that okay? Okay, so if someone's not paying attention, see, what we do at school is this. If they're there and somebody's not paying attention, you just go and stand beside them like this, you know, and all of a sudden they look up. See, it works. What's your name, sir? Thank you for being part of that, David. Okay, I'm really impressed. 1 John chapter 1 gives us some interesting things about this shared life. And I don't know, is there anybody here who loves dogs? Put your hand up if you love dogs. Okay, put your hand up if you love cats. Right, these are the ones that need to be converted today. Okay. Fellowship, doing stuff together. Yes, that's what it's about. I think it's what it's about. It's what Christianity is about, in fact. As we think, and now, gentlemen, I've got no joy here. Flick some switch. Oh, yes. No. Oh, that spoiled that. Okay. The question is, how do you know when you're driving your car, how do you know if you've taken off from the lights too fast? Answer? Could look like this. Fellowship's an interesting thing. I don't know whether you're in fellowship with your dog, are you? Have anything in common with your dog? Actually, you do. Okay? They say that dog owners actually look like the dogs they own. I have a beagle. Nevertheless, sometimes we know and understand in sharing things in common, sometimes I'm just too big to share anything with anybody, okay? Or maybe there's this one. You know, it's always better to have two. Ecclesiastes says two's better than one, because when one, oop, don't step on the child, when one falls over, the other one can help them up, right? Well, two is better than one in this instance, because if one falls over, the other one can sit on them, okay? Is this sharing life together? Oh, I think it might be. Have you ever noticed that dogs often find a need to run away when it's bath time? Do you have that problem, sir? You run off and hide in the office when it's bath time? Sometimes, yeah, I understand entirely. He's a bloke, I understand. Okay? This beagle I have is a bit like that, but I had a cocker spaniel beforehand, okay? And she was, well, he was a poor dog. Because I lived in Queensland and we were in drought. And the reality of the drought was that when the dog was born, the dog had not seen rain for 2 years. The first time it rained, the dog went outside and went like this. Had no idea what the rain was. Okay, and poor Rusty, we called him. Little pun there. You missed that one. He was afraid of the bath. So every time you say, Rusty, bath time, he'd run inside and hide under the desk. I didn't know why until, well, in the postmodern age, you know, and you realize in the postmodern age, whether it's right or wrong doesn't matter. As long as it looks good, right? As long as you get the right look, you've got to get the hair in the right place, you've got to have the right shoes, you've got to have the right hat, Okay, as long as you've got the look, it's okay in the postmodern world. And then I saw this and understood why the dog hides when it's bath time. Because the net result doesn't quite give you the look you're looking for. Sharing things in common. Brother Dennis, is it? The brother that just spoke? Where is he? Here he is, Brother Dennis. Are you a radio announcer, sir? You should be. You have a wonderful radio voice, yeah, doesn't he? He mentioned Anzac Day, and I thought it was a good thing, okay? This idea of rowing your boat. I don't know whether you know the nursery rhyme, do you? Do you know the nursery rhyme? When I think about fellowship, and I want to define this, and this is the Roy definition, okay? I have a paraphrase, I have a proverb book, I have a book of definitions. Nobody ever takes note. It's not been published, don't panic, sir. I'm not going to ask you to buy a copy of my book. But the reality is this, that I thought about fellowship, and I think really the best definition for fellowship is it's just two fellas in a ship. I remember that, and I remember the rowboat. And I want you to remember the rowboat today. And the rowboat's an important thing to remember because you know this. If you're in a rowboat with someone, let's just pretend there was two blokes in that rowboat. These two guys over here, like rowboaters, okay? He's even got a boat shirt on, Patrick. Okay, you're with Lady Nelson? Okay, is she really Lady Nelson? I mean, was there ever a Lady Nelson? I know Lord Nelson, but was she Lady Nelson? I believe so, I don't know. And your name is? Ian, g'day. And these two guys are in the rowboat, right? They both got an oar. What happens when they start rowing their boat if they don't work together? What happens, Ian? You go round in circles, mate. Absolutely. Especially, wouldn't be good if it was Lady Nelson going round in circles. You go nowhere, you achieve nothing. They've got to work together. They've got to row together. One is weaker than the other. They have to compensate to be able to be successful. To have that success, to move on and to be part of life and have that outworking of going from place A to place B. If they don't work together, all they do is go round in circles. Beloved, let me tell you this, within the household of faith, if we don't work together, all we do is, all together, go round in circles, which seems rather pointless to me. Okay? Row your boat. Do you know the nursery rhyme? Okay. You don't, this man, he shook his head. You don't know the rest of it? Oh, it's alright. Okay. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Shall we try it? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Whoever wrote that had no idea what life was like. Okay. Life is like a dream. You've got to be kidding. You understand, please, whatever you do, do not build your doctrine on nursery rhymes. Okay? You're likely to find yourself in deep trouble. Okay? But this whole idea of the boat rowing and the working together and all those sorts of things then reminded me, of course, of Anzac Day. Yesterday, we celebrated 100 years of Anzac, and I want to do something just this morning special, and I'm going to ask you all to stand up. Okay? Because what I want to do just for a second, and there is a very important reason for this, please don't toss me out just yet. Just stay with me, okay, because you'll see the purpose. I want us simply to read the Ode of Remembrance. I'll read it for you, and then at the end there's red letters, of course, that phrase which is, lest we forget. And that's your turn in unison. When we go to any Anzac Day celebration or any celebration of that sort, often the Ode to Remembrance is read. It's not the whole poem, it's just one verse. And it goes like this, okay? They shall grow not old as we who are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Altogether, lest we forget. Thank you. You may be seated. In honour of those who served our country and lost their lives, men and women, many of them, I find it really interesting, however, that we celebrate Anzac Day and began by, if you like, the celebration of the landing of Gallipoli in World War I, the greatest military disaster ever to be known or recorded in the annals of history of the Western world. Why on earth they didn't just say, oops, withdraw, and come back another day, I will never know. But thousands of men lost their lives because of a military mistake. Let's never forget that. Conversely, Jesus never made a mistake when he went to the cross. Okay? It was never an error. It wasn't bad timing. It wasn't in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it was for all mankind. How glorious it is, Dennis, to remember the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And as I thought about this and thought about the rowboat and thought about us being together and wanting to work together, I realized that there's something special that joins all the veterans together. They wear their medals, they go on the Anzac March, and some have said, and perhaps even in criticism, some have said, oh, Anzac Day, it's just an excuse for the boys to get together and have a booze up. Well, maybe, maybe not. But I want to tell you, why do they do that? Why do they do that? Why does the world, when they go to work and they're all there and they're all working in the one place, and they all go, hey, you want to go for a drink after work on Friday afternoon? They all go down the rubbity-dub for, say, a drink, or actually more than that, more than a drink on Friday afternoon after work. Why do they do that? Why do you think they do that? Is there something really deep underneath that human beings need and understand? And I think there is. Why is it the footy club? They all have the... You've seen it at the footy, haven't you? Okay? I mean, the Hawks are... That's not really football. I realise that. Football is round. But you have this funny egg-shaped ball that you throw around and call it football. I think we call it aerial ping-pong, but nevertheless, either way, what we know is there's an intensity in these sporting clubs. There's the hat and the scarf and the jersey and everything and all the banners, and you paint the car and you paint the dog. They all get painted in the football colours, right? Why do we do that? It's what? It's called fellowship, brother. Well done. It's called fellowship. It's called doing it together. It's called sharing the common life. It happens all across. It's not just among Christians. Don't get me wrong, beloved. Fellowship is not a word that is endemic just in a Christian community. On the Kokoda Trail, this monument is built. Lovely things about halfway up the Kokoda. Don't worry, I've not been there. I'm only going on what I've read. Kokoda Trail is a big climb. I'm not going there. I can tell you that now. I'm not fit enough to do that. But there's this monument about halfway along the track. And the monument has four granite uprights, obelisks, I suppose we call them. And on them are engraved four words: courage, endurance, sacrifice, engraved on these granite monuments. And the other one, the one here, is called mateship. And Australians are really good at it. We're good mates. Whether we're male or female, we understand mateship. You can go anywhere in the world and someone will go, Aussie, Aussie, Aussie! And everybody will go. And it doesn't matter where you are or when it happens. You just respond to that every time. It's called, it's called mateship. And I believe there's not another nation on earth that's got it like we've got it. There's something unique about us here in Australia. Even to the extent that Tasmanians have actually commandeered the Aussie, Aussie, Aussie saying. I've heard it. They go, Tassie, Tassie, Tassie! And everybody responds. Oh, okay, you've got to be educated yet. Okay? It's about mateship, my friends. Mateship, fellowship, doing things together, sharing the common life. And the brethren said I had 20 minutes, and that's good morning, how are you? And I've got 3 minutes left. As we think about these things, they are all about sharing the common life. And as we think about the first epistle of John, there are some important things for us to understand and to grab hold of in terms of the fellowship of believers, the mateship amongst those who confess the name of Jesus. I want to tell you this, if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go together. An old African proverb, I believe, I'm not quite sure just where it came from. I found it, thought it was good, thought I'd share it with you. If you want to go fast, well, you perhaps go on your own, but if you want to go far, if you want to achieve anything, then you need to go together. We need to understand the journey. Sharing that common life. In the first epistle of John, the thing that came to my mind is the whole idea of being in fellowship. Now, I've been brought up in brethren assemblies ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. My mum and dad were amongst people of God known as open brethren. And in those days, there was a term called being in fellowship. Now, most of you people, of course, won't understand this because you're not old enough, but there are some who are nodding, so they must be really old like me. Okay? To be in fellowship, I remember I wasn't in fellowship in the assembly I went to because I wasn't in the inner circle. And the inner circle was a protected thing. How did I get into fellowship? I had to get saved and then I had to get baptized before I could be in fellowship. I look at these sorts of things today and I think about my Bible and I wonder why we ever went down that path, because the being in fellowship in that context was no different to the footy club or the rowing club or anything else. It was simply made up by man's rules. Okay? And I look at that and think about, I don't know, how many people have been upset or maybe even lost to the Lord because we acted that way and we think about man's rules. And my exhortation for you here at Hope is don't go that way. Don't ever invent a membership which is invented by man's rules. But I want to tell you now, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, then I'm in this fellowship, because I too know Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. As we think about sharing the common life, and I want to ask you, if you look at the things that we've thought about, let's go back, just back to this little thing here with the scriptures. Look at this. The actual highlighted part. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things I write to you, that your joy may be full. You can stand up and dance on the table. I wouldn't suggest you do that, by the way. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have altogether fellowship with one another. Fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You'll notice the words I've highlighted in this passage, apart from the underlines. They're there, the sharing life in common. But it's about lying and the truth and confession. So I have them some questions to ask us about sharing the common life and being in fellowship, not just the invention of man, but in fellowship with the message. As we look at 1 John, we think about that. I declare to you, the apostle says, the things that I received. It's all about how do we get in fellowship with the message. And being in fellowship with the message from 1 John is something about confessing and believing. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, beloved, you read then the best four words in God's Bible. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah. We need to know this message. We need to share this message. We need to share this message with each other so that when we go out there, we're all sharing the same message. That's in fellowship with the message. If it is that you're not familiar with the message of the gospel, then my challenge to you today is get familiar with the gospel message. And the gospel message for me, Mark chapter 16 verse 16, simply says, believe and be baptized. When I was a young man, I believed and I wasn't baptized. And you know as well as I do that that happens very often. Sometimes someone accepts Christ as their Savior and then they don't follow the Lord through the waters of baptism. And there's this big long yearly, I don't know, for me it was probably, let me see, four years between when I was saved and when I was baptized. And in my adult life I go, why was that? Why was that? And why is it that we see a gap like that? Is it because we're not teaching the message, believe and be baptized? Believe, yes, and be baptized. Belief happens inside. Baptism is very simple, beloved. Don't get it too holy or too sacrosanct. Baptism is just a dipping which simply shows outwardly what went on inside. Okay? We simply go down into the water, right, to demonstrate that we're dead with Christ. Okay? And then we just come up out of the water to demonstrate that now we are risen, if you like, to a new life with Christ. It's that simple. It's not sort of some sacrosanct thing. And by the way, elders, I've understood this now. When Cornelius got saved, Peter commanded the elders to baptize him. There's no record that he actually asked. Something for us to think about, isn't it? But the message is believe and be baptized. And what we receive, we learn to fully pass on as we are in fellowship in the message. The Bible exhorts us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 that we should grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Are you? Yeah, I'm going to be a bit blunt with you. I don't have time to fiddle about, but are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Is your knowledge of the Lord Jesus more today than it was yesterday? Is it more this year than it was last year? Is your fellowship with Him growing and prospering? If you can't answer absolutely yes to those questions, then there's work for you and I to do, sharing the common life. Not only in fellowship with the message, but in fellowship with God. Fellowship with the Son of God. How do we become in fellowship with Him? Well, it's simply by faith in the Son of God. The whole gospel message is about understanding we are saved by faith alone, saved by grace through faith. 1 John chapter 2, actually, it goes on and gives us a clear understanding of our relationship with God. How do you know that you have a relationship with God? How do you know that you're saved? How do you know that you're in fellowship with others who are saved? How do you know that you're actually part of the church that is the body of Christ? How do you know you're saved? Well, if you look at 1 John and look at the word know, he'll tell you. In chapter 2, verse 3, it says, we know that we belong to Him because we keep His commandments. It says in verse 6, we know that we belong to Him because we walk as Jesus walked. Our desire is to live our life like Jesus lived His life when He was here on earth. We love our brother. Ooh, that's a bit of a problem sometimes. Let me tell you, my mother had a brother. My mother and brother and her brother, Uncle Les, were 9 years apart. She was older than he. And it always bothered me. Mum was a believer in Jesus. And a lot of what she said demonstrated that she didn't love her brother. And that bothered me when I read this. How can you love God who you cannot see when you do not love your brother who you can see? Boy, there's some challenges in the scriptures, isn't there? If we know Jesus, if we're in fellowship, we're going to hate the things of the world. And I want you to understand this. That's a relative term, that hate. Excuse me, I don't know what you know about me, but I love motor racing. I love motor cars. And you go, Roy, you can't be a Christian if you go motor racing. Scripture says you have to hate the things of the world. Well, I told my students the other day, I'm going to Simmons Plains and I'm going to the motor race and I'm going up there deliberately to be a witness for Jesus. Oh, you're going to go and tell everybody and see if you can get them saved? Oh, no, that's not what God said. I'm going to go up there and be a witness for Jesus. In other words, I'm going to go to the motor races and live my life for Christ while I'm there. If it is, we rock up. I did this just quickly. Can I take a minute? Just quickly, story. Okay, I went to the Australian Grand Prix 1 year and in Adelaide. This was years ago. And I went up to the food thing and I bought my steak sandwich. $8.90. You've got to be kidding, I don't want the whole cow. $8.90 for a steak sandwich. I gave them $9 just to make the change simple. Okay, 10 cents, right? You can do the maths, pretty easy. I looked at my change, the girl had given me a dollar, not 10 cents. I got back on the line, I got back in and said, excuse me. She said, what's the matter with you? I said, I just want to bring this back, you gave me too much change. She says, oh, don't go away. She said, look, your gain is our loss, just don't. I said, look, I really want to give this back because my steak sandwich is $8.90. If I don't do this next year, it's going to be $12. Okay, because you're going to lose money. So this is actually for me as much as it's for you. And I said, please, I just need 10 cents, not a dollar. She said, I'll get the manager. She got the manager and he came out and said, what's the matter with you? And I said, well, there's no problem, sir. I've just got the wrong change and I want to swap this dollar for a 10-cent coin. And he went, really? You're a bit strange. Okay. Oh, look, he went over to the till and rattle, rattle, rattle. He came back. Oh, here, take this and go away. We haven't got any 10-cent coins. Here's a 20. All I wanted to do was get the right change. Why do I want to do that? Why do I want to do that altogether? Come on. Because I hate the things of the world. Because I'm born again and I live as a Christian, when I go to the motor races, I live my Christianity while I'm there. That's being a witness for Christ. Have you got that? Mind you, if I'm sitting there and I'm sitting in the stand and the guy beside me says, I noticed that thing down there at the steak sandwich stall and you went on about the change. He said, that's really strange. Why did you do that? Oh, do I have an opportunity now? Oh, yes. We hate the things of the world. We do the will of God. You get an unction of the Holy Spirit. Don't you love that word? Unction. Unction is not in the new... What version did you read, brother? New International Version? Okay. It's not in there. I think it's the anointing of this Holy Spirit. But the Old Authorized Version uses the word unction. I love the word unction. I got an unction. You've got a what? I've got an unction. How do you know you're saved? Let me tell you quickly. You just know. Got it? Inside, you just know. You got an unction from the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 16 says, His Spirit witnesses with my spirit that I am the child of God. That's the unction of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have that, probably not saved. You do what's right. This is just in chapter 2. There's 18 more things in the rest of the Epistle of John that will identify how you know you're saved, how you'll know you're in fellowship with those who are saved. We share in the common life, right? In fellowship with the truth. Not just in fellowship with the message. Okay? Not just in fellowship with God, but in fellowship with the truth, knowing the truth. How do we do this? Well, it's by being truthful. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 16 says, these are the things you will do. Each man will speak truth with his neighbor. Okay? It's about the whole truth, all the time, without exaggeration. What is your name, sir? Sean? It looks like it. Sean, do you know Craig Lowndes? Do you know of Craig Lowndes? You're uneducated as well. Anybody here know Craig Lowndes or know of him? Pretty cool dude, Craig. Here's a go. Ready for this? I've had lunch with Craig Lowndes. You want to know the real truth? Craig lives in Queensland, and I lived in Queensland for 15 years, and at Strathpine, like Eastland Shopping Centre, Strathpine, Westfield, there's a big food court, and I was down there one day having my lunch, and Craig and his wife was over in the other court, in the corner of the court having their lunch. Is the real truth. But how often do we fall into the truth that says, I've had lunch with Craig Lowndes? It's about the whole truth, not just the bit that you like, not just the bit that suits you. It's about the whole truth all the time, not just when it's expedient. And it's about the whole truth all the time without exaggeration. You know the exaggeration, the fisherman's truth. You know about the fisherman's truth, don't you? You should have seen the one that got away! He was there about this big. Okay? I had a brother years ago, Sunday school teacher, took his boys out fishing. All night, out in the rowboat. Obviously working together. Okay? Off they went, came back in the morning, absolutely zip. Nothing whatsoever. So he walked them down the road to the fish shop. And he lined them up on the footpath. He said, stand there, boys. He went in and bought five fish, because there's five boys. He came out, unwrapped it, took each fish and threw it to each boy. He said, go home and tell your mother you caught a fish. Do we often fall into the trap of colouring the truth to meet our own needs or to cover our misdeeds or because it might look bad? It's about the whole truth. How do we deal with this? Well, further down you see in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are a lot of Christians who live with the guilt of sin in their life because they don't know what confession is. We get the societal view of confession that we have to go down to the priest down the road and go into the little cubicle and, "Oh Father, I have sinned. Will you please hear my confession? It's been 27 years since my last confession. I hope you brought your lunch because we're going to be here for a while." That's not confession. A lot of Christians believe that confession is telling God what you've done. "Oh Lord, I swore. Now my God is all-knowing. What about yours? Does He know everything?" Absolutely. So when you say to Him, "Oh Lord, I swore," what's He going to say? He says, "Yes, I know. So what are you going to do about it?" You see, telling God what you've done isn't confession. Savage proverb, confession is agreeing with God about sin. Say this with me. Confession is, I'll demonstrate and then we do it together. Confession is agreeing with God that what I have done is sin. Got it? All together? Confession is agreeing with God that what I have done is sin. Say it again. Confession is agreeing with God that what I have done is sin. Say it one more time. Confession is and call it sin. "Oh Lord, I made a mistake." No, you didn't. You sinned. "Oh Lord, I sort of slipped and used bad language, Lord." No, you didn't. You sinned. Swearing is sin. "And I know it, Lord, and I hate it, and I want to depart from it." You know what He'll do? What does He do? 1 John 1:9, quickly. "If I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me my sin and..." Oh, don't you love the word "and"? The word "and" is the most exciting word in the English language. The word "and" is a conjunction. I don't know why they call it a conjunction. I suppose it's because it's conjuncts. I don't know what that means. Okay? The word "and" is an exciting word because it means there's something more. Like ice cream. And. Ice cream and chocolate. How good is that? And you know, we think about ice cream and chocolate and... Sprinkles! Ice cream and chocolate and sprinkles and... And topping and... And just means there's more. Yes? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He means He cleans up your conscience. He makes it clean. You get a fresh start and you get to move on with a clear conscience. Don't you love that? God is amazing God. He doesn't just forgive me, brother, but He cleans me up, cleans my conscience, and I can move on knowing I'm in fellowship with Him. He cleanses me. There's a great story that goes with this, but you don't have time to get it. Sharing the common life. Walking in the light. John says, walk in the light as He is in the light. And then you'll have what? Altogether. Speak up now. Walk in the light as He is in the light, and then you will have fellowship with one another. How do you get fellowship with one another? The answer is really simple. You walk in the light as He is in the light. In other words, there's these two relationships that you have in your life. There's a vertical relationship with God, and there's a horizontal relationship with fellow believers. I want to tell you quite bluntly, beloved, if you think, notice, or it comes across or brought to your attention in any way that there's any problem with your horizontal relationship with other believers, you need to look somewhere else. Where do you need to look? You need to look up. The relationship with you, the relationship with me, the relationship with fellow believers is always going to be in fellowship if I'm in fellowship with Him. If I have a problem with you, I need to look at my relationship with Jesus. The fellowship of the saints is dependent upon your walk with Jesus. If you're walking with Jesus and I'm walking with Jesus, what does the Bible say we are, brother? In fellowship. Sharing the common life. Savage proverb. If we willingly choose a truth and honest lifestyle in Christ, we will be sharing the common life. Oh, it's my prayer for you today. The preacher needs to challenge the people. The preacher needs to challenge the people about what they're going to decide to do. We have a great time at church. We have great fellowship, if you like, together because we have things in common. But ultimately, what are you going to do today? What are you going to do right now? Just don't listen to this and then go, oh, that was nice. Thank you, brother. It's a case of what you're going to do. Have you been walking in the light? What's your relationship like with Jesus right now? Is there anything that needs to be, if you like, fixed up? Is there anything that needs to be dealt with? Is there that sin lurking in the back of your heart and you know the fellowship with Jesus is broken? Are you walking in the light? Are you prepared to walk in the light? Are you prepared to make the decision? Will you decide today to walk in the light? Will you decide every day to walk in the light? Every day. Every day. It's you I live for, Lord. Every day. I believe we're going to sing this song. Every day I'll follow after you. Every day I'll walk with you, my Lord. Do you know why I want to walk with the Lord every day? Yeah, that's true. I do love Him, absolutely. But there's a different reason in the context of what we've been saying today. Why do I want to walk with my Lord every day, brother? Because I want to be in fellowship with you if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Okay? I will decide today again to walk in the light. Will you?